Hello and welcome to this discussion of the Booker shortlist just announced. Yes, we're now down from the Booker dozen to the six books that will do battle for the 2009 Man Booker Prize. And all that means in terms of fame, fortune, and of course, in these testing times, international book sales, we hope. I'm Claire Armistead, literary editor of The Guardian, and with me in the studio to discuss the shortlist is my opposite number on The Guardian Unlimited website, Sarah Crown.
Hello.
And Will Skidelsky, literary editor of The Observer.
Hello.
Hi, Sarah. Now, first things first, can you run through the titles that have made it onto the shortlist?
Yes, I'll try and do it in alphabetical order as well, if I can. Firstly, we have A.S. Byatt's The Children's Book, which tells the story of a children's author and is set in Kent around the turn of the 20th century. Lots of bohemians doing bohemian things. Then we have J.M. Coetzee's Summertime, which is the third volume of his fictionalised autobiography. Next on the list is Adam Fold's The Quickening Maze, which tells the story of John Clare and Tennyson. This really happened. They met in an asylum in Epping Forest. And next, Hilary Mantel's Wolf Hall, which is a fictionalised life of Thomas Cromwell in the court of Henry VIII. Sarah Waters' The Little Stranger, which is a sort of a haunted house story. And obviously I've missed out Simon Moore's The Glass Room, which is a sort of a modernist 1930s novel set in Czechoslovakia.
Will, any surprises there?
I think it's broadly a predictable shortlist. I was a little bit surprised to see Coetzee's Summertime on the list.
Why?
Well, I think, I mean, he's a wonderful writer, but he's won it twice before, and compared to his previous work, you know, I think this, I didn't think this was an especially strong one.
This is actually, it's the third of his fictionalised autobiographies, isn't it?
Yes, yes. So, I mean, there's a slight question mark over whether it's actually a novel. I mean, I think it's fair to say it's a novel. But I just didn't think it was. I mean, you know, I find him a wonderfully readable and interesting writer, but I didn't think it was his best book by a long way.
And of course, it does have some wonderful lines in it, which is very tempting to quote in the context of a Booker shortlist, such as, "A writer deforming his medium in order to say what has never been said before, which is to me the mark of great writing." Do we see any writers deforming their medium here?
Across the whole shortlist?
Yes.
I don't think any of them are deforming the medium. What I think is notable is that all of them are, with the exception of the Coetzee, are historical novels. And there's a lot of, you know, what the genre known as faction, sort of, you know, real, fictionalising real lives of well, you know, well-known people, I think it's slightly regrettable to me that it's become so much the template for what good fiction is.
There's also quite a lot about class in these books, isn't there, Sarah?
Yes, I suppose there is. The A.S. Byatt book is all about class.
It's, well, bohemians and negotiations, yes, with class at the turn of the 20th
yes,
century.
Yes, at a time when class suddenly became a much more flexible, fluid commodity, I suppose. The story of the novel leads up to the First World War, and that is the point at which class in the UK really was revolutionised. So it has a lot of... The characters in the novel are poised on the brink of a huge sea change, and their backgrounds are kind of outlined for us to sort of see where they're heading, I guess.
Mm. And of course, Wolf Hall is about that arriviste Thomas Cromwell, arriviste,
yes,
to the court of Henry VIII, although albeit rather a long time ago.
Yes.
Do you have a favourite, Sarah?
Yes, I really do. My favourite is Wolf Hall by quite a stretch. I've read of the six shortlisted books, I've read four of them, so I've yet to read the Simon Moore or the Coetzee, but of the four that I've read, I think Mantel's just streets ahead.
Why?
It's such an unusual book, I think. What Will was saying about the idea of faction and this being the template for novels, I think that's a very interesting point, because while I agree that this is a path that many people have taken, in Mantel's case, she does it in a way that's so pungent and rich and intelligent and gripping. And so you have this amazing story, you know, a story that you couldn't have made up, really, of this man coming into the court from nowhere. And Will's grimacing.
I see Will looking a little bit sceptical here. We'll bring him in a second. Carry on hanging yourself, Sarah.
and you know, attaining these great heights in Henry VIII's court. She manages to do historical fiction in a way that it feels desperately of the time, but that isn't heavy. It's not heavy-handed at all. She's not kind of hitting you over the head with it. And I just thought it was wonderful, like a beautiful tapestry.
Really now, I thick. Feel about this, I love this book too, but I have encountered a lot of opposition to it. I mean, a lot of people, she's made some very strong stylistic choices and some people just don't buy them. Will, what do you think?
Yes, I mean, I don't mind the style. I mean, I think she's an incredibly accomplished writer, and it's a very daring feat to, you know, to sort of fictionalise Thomas Cromwell's life and the entire Tudor court. I didn't feel it really entirely worked as a novel, in that it's for the start, it's such a big book, and it's all the entire story is conveyed through this one man's consciousness. You know, there were no sort of shifts of perspective at all, and I found it hard going, to be honest. I after about 300 pages, I was slightly thinking, gosh, you know, and given also that I knew where the story was heading, because it's a sort of, you know, it's a matter of historical record. I felt there was a sort of
you don't know the point at which it's going to stop, do you? You don't know whether it's going to stop at his death, or it doesn't stop. It doesn't go that far.
No, it's true. There are surprises along the way, you know, and it's not. I admire it immensely, but I felt it had serious limitations.
So what do you like? Which one do you like best?
I think The Glass Room is a fascinatingly interesting book, and you know, rather very 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 quirky and interesting.
So describe it.
It's set in Czechoslovakia in the 30s, and it's about this this modernist house and the relationships of the people who live there.
The house is the central character, isn't it? It's almost like it's the central character of a picaresque novel, which takes us through the whole of the century, through from sort of the idealism of modernism in the 1920s, through Nazism, through to communist rule, and then in the end it ends up being a museum. I think it's an absolutely brilliant conceit, and it seems to me also to be a typical Booker book, in that it's got, you know, a big, strong, meaningful central metaphor which is worked out in a very sort of deliberate way. And one of the great things about this is that it's a writer who's written lots of novels, and you know, it's somebody who you just think, oh, good on you, yes, you write 8 novels and then you get there. It's not this flash in the pan stuff which we've seen so much of.
But actually that is true of Mantel as well, because she's somebody who's extremely well known in the literary world, has written many novels, all of which have been extremely well reviewed, but she's never had commercial success. And I think that this would be a really sort of, it's the time for her to be recognised, I think. And if you're going to recognise one of her books, this one is, it's just outstanding, I think.
Well, what about the titles that have been left off, Will?
Well, I think, I don't have any major quibbles apart from one, which is a huge quibble, which is Con Toybin's novel Brooklyn, which to me really, really did seem to me the best thing I've read all year, with the exception of Roberto Bolaño's 2666, which obviously wasn't eligible for this prize. But I mean, I thought it was an outstanding book. I mean, and I'm to be honest, I'm completely mystified why it didn't make the shortlist.
Did you agree with that?
No, Will and I are going to disagree again. I thought it was a very readable, elegantly told, fairly thin story, which I read, it just passed me by, I think. I read it very quickly and came out to the end of it and thought, yes, it was a nice read. I read it while I was on holiday, but it just didn't move me particularly. I thought there was nothing above or below it. It didn't grab me. It didn't involve me. So yeah, I think that they made the right decision. So,
yes and no for Con Toybin. What about William Trevor? That's a bit sad, isn't it? I mean, this must be his last pop at the Booker.
Yes, I'm sure it is. But I didn't think it was his best work by a long way.
This is Love and Summer.
Love and Summer. I mean, I thought it was. I mean, you know, Sarah said that the Toybin was weak and thin. I mean, I actually thought I didn't think that about the Toybin at all, but I did think Love and Summer was a bit weak and thin. It's sort of, you know, the story it told was a rather slight one, and it felt to me a little bit underdeveloped.
It's a story of sort of reconciliation in late age, kind of, isn't it?
Well, it's set in rural Ireland in the 1950s, a small town, and there were sort of four main characters, and an affair takes place between a married woman and a sort of slightly more sophisticated outsider. And then this affair is observed by various other kind of people in the town. And it's very beautifully told, as you'd expect from Trevor. But a novel by him which I really love, like Felicia's Journey, which has a much stronger narrative, and I felt this was slightly lacking a narrative.
A sense of him wanting things to end up all right, isn't there, in its era?
Which is fair enough, I suppose. But yes, I think probably I'd agree there and say it's better that it hasn't made it onto the shortlist. But what about the other two big women
on the list? Big women.
Yes.
Big women. If you're talking about big books, there are two very big books by women, Hilary Mantel and the A.S. Byatt. What about Sarah Waters? Are you surprised that Sarah Waters was there?
I'm a bit surprised because, although, again, I really enjoyed the novel. It's very readable and a ghost story, and that's very exciting. And again, very much about class and this idea of kind of the interplay between the upper class and the emerging middle classes after the Second World War in this case. But I didn't think it was anything like as strong as The Night Watch. It didn't have the technical prowess that she demonstrated so ably in that. And I left it feeling that it was full of atmosphere, but slightly lacking in substance, I think. What do you think?
Well, I actually found it stayed with me. I find it very, I think it's a very cunning book. It is sort of almost uncanny the way it's grown on me over the few months since I've read it. The problem with Sarah, I think, is she's almost too good a technician, and she, you know, I felt that a bit with The Night Watch as well. The back to front story left you feeling a little bit that there was a sort of flaccidity in the first section which had to be there in order to get to the tension of it later on.
Yeah.
And actually, interestingly, I felt that was true of one of the books that wasn't put on this shortlist, which is The Wilderness by Samantha Harvey, which is a first book, tremendously accomplished first book about Alzheimer's. And she has followed the logic of writing about Alzheimer's to such an extent that the narrative fragments, as it must do if a mind is, if it's describing a mind that is fragmenting. And I think that brings us back to Kurt Sears' line about a writer deforming his medium. And there is something about this Booker shortlist, as there often is about Booker shortlist, that they're actually quite conventional novels. They have conventional narratives.
Except, I would say, for the Adam Fold book, which I read about 6 months ago now. And that's a very unusual book. It's called The Quickening Maze, and it's a story of John Clare and Alfred Tennyson both turning up at the same asylum in Epping Forest. And he's best known probably as a poet. He won the Costa Poetry Prize last year for his collection. And this book is technically very odd. It's done in sort of lots of snapshots. It's the photograph on the front of the book is of a tree in a forest, and it made me think of that, of sort of pockets of light in a forest. You know, you move from pocket to pocket. It's very fragmented, and very unusual. So I'm sort of pleased to see it there, but quite surprised.
So let's go. Let's come put our necks on the line. Who's going to win it? And this is the point at which everybody makes a fool of themselves across literary England. Sarah.
Well, I was talking to Meg Rosser, who came in to do an interview not so many weeks ago, and she said to me that if Wolf Hall didn't win the Booker, she would throw herself under a train.
Oh dear, we don't want Wolf Hall to win then, do we?
And while I wouldn't go that far, I would say that if Wolf Hall doesn't win the Booker, I'll be really, really disappointed, because I think it's an outstanding novel.
Will, on the other hand, will be crowing.
Well, yes, but nonetheless, I mean, you know, it's the bookie's favourite. It does seem to have a unstoppable momentum behind it. So, I mean, if I had to guess one that's will win, I think I would say Wolf Hall.
Now, I'm actually a late convert to The Glass Room, which I only read this week. It was 16-1 yesterday. I did consider putting a bet on it and then chickened out. And I'm very sorry about that now, because I think it's a really good novel. Right. Is it a good year, do you think?
I think it's a brilliant year, actually. I think it's really one of the best years for quite some time. There's a lot of good stuff on that list, and I'm really looking forward to reading the Simon Moore.
Well, Sarah and Will, thank you very much for coming in. If you want to have your say about the shortlist, go to guardian.co.uk books. I'm Claire Armistead, and the producer is Tim Mabey.